Take your Bibles and turn with me to Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, reading there this afternoon, verses 19 to 23 of Daniel chapter 2. Just to stand, please, once again for the reading of God's word. Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. It says there, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times of the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for reminding us that we are looking for the coming of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it could be at any moment, and we need to be ready, and we need to be busy serving thee while we await that coming. We thank thee also for the prophecy that we have here in the book of Daniel that reminds us of world events that were yet future in the time of Daniel and in some aspects are still future to us today. And as we prepare to look at these things, I pray that we would have the same attitude towards thee as Daniel had, that we would understand that wisdom and might are thy possession. We're thankful that we can know thee, the true God, the God who makes truth available to us, proclaims his truth, and that truth is the truth. It doesn't change. And even in prophetic statements that are made, we can know that they will come to pass just as they were given because of thy might. And I pray that as we look into this passage this afternoon, that we would worship thee as Daniel did. We'd be thankful that we know thee as the true God, and that we too can make our request known unto thee, and we can have thee answer us and guide us in the way that we need to be walking today. So we ask that thou hast blessed the reading of thy word to our hearts this afternoon. I pray, Father, that thou hast guide me in the preaching of thy word, that I'd be faithful to the text, and I pray that thou wouldst give me the strength of voice and body to deliver the message as thou wouldst have me to. And I just pray that each one of us would want to hear from thee this afternoon. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this afternoon is simply taken from verse 20. It says, "Blessed be the name of God." Confidence is a very necessary thing for us as people. There are those who claim to be agnostics. They claim that we just cannot know if there's a God. We cannot know what he has said or any of that. Regardless of what truth is presented to them, they just claim they can't know. The fact of the matter is that they do know, but they don't want to acknowledge and act upon what they know. And for whatever reason, they choose to take that position, well, we just don't know. Elijah, in the Old Testament, he taunted the false prophets of his day with their misplaced confidence in false gods. Their gods must have been extremely busy, and these false prophets, they needed to work harder to gain their attention. And so the false prophets cried out and they cut themselves, but their gods were silent. because they didn't exist. They had one false god, whom they had divided into many, but they had one false god, and that was the devil. They thought they were serving many gods, one in charge of fire, one in charge of rain, one in charge of fertility, and so on. But their false god, the devil, no matter how much they cried, no matter how much they cut themselves, he could not bring down fire upon that altar. Even though one day he will be in torment in the lake of fire for all of eternity. Daniel and his three friends, they had confidence in the true God. And as we go through the book of Daniel, we will see that they did not always know what God was going to do in a certain situation, but they knew they could trust him. And that's what God wants of you and I. We don't know what God is going to do in every situation we find in life. But God wants us to have the confidence in him that we will simply trust him. We will simply follow him and follow what his word says is right for us and allow him to work out the details for his glory. That's an important place to be in our lives. And as I said this morning in regard to our holiness, none of us has arrived there. And I believe when it comes to our confidence in God, again, none of us has arrived there. But we need to learn that. And God doesn't expect us to think about something that might happen next week somewhere and place our confidence in that right now. He wants us to have our confidence in him right now. And what we're facing right now, just let him lead us in that matter and trust him to do what is right, to work all things out for his own glory. That's all he's asking us to do. Not way out there somewhere, but right now, right here, in what we are facing today. One of the things that we can learn from the book of Daniel is what Psalm 22 and verse 4 and 5 says. Psalm 22, verses 4 and 5. And it says there, "Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded." That word confounded means to be made ashamed. They were not made ashamed. They trusted in God, and they were not made ashamed. And for us today as well, if we put our trust in God, we'll never be made ashamed. Now, sure, the world may laugh at us. We looked at in 2 Peter chapter 3, they're scoffers. They're scoffing at the creation account. They're scoffing at the flood account. They're scoffing at all kinds of things. But that doesn't mean we have to be ashamed of the creation account or of the flood or anything else. We don't have to be ashamed. That shouldn't embarrass us if they scoff at us because of that. We know it's true. Let them say what they want. Let them laugh. Let them do whatever. It's still true. Right. We'll never be ashamed. And you see, that's the place that God wants us to be. Because you see, if we're ashamed, guess what it does? It silences us, doesn't it? We say, well, I guess I better not say, I don't really know. You know, I don't want to be laughed at. So then we become silent. Guess who wins then? The devil. That's exactly what he wants. He wants us to be quiet. He wants us to let the world go and follow him right to the lake of fire. All the way there. But yet again, if that love of God is in us, as we talked about this morning, you know, even though sometimes we're tempted to be silent, we really can't be. Because that love of God motivates us to tell people the truth. I believe Daniel and his three friends had that love of God, even though they didn't read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. I believe they had that love of God in them. They were in a pagan country, but they weren't content to just blend in with the pagans of that country. They were going to serve the living God. And God called upon them, and Daniel in particular, but his friends as well, He called upon them to be in a high place in that government, and from that place to speak the truth of God's word. And they were faithful. And may God find us that way as well in our lives. The first thing that we notice here, and we're looking this afternoon because that's what Daniel is giving us here. That's what God is giving us through Daniel. We're looking at God. And that's a good thing to do. To look at God and see who God is. And realize, as we see here, the first point, God, Daniel blessed the God of heaven. It says there in verse 19, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." Some years ago, we were attending a church where the pastor was a very conservative man who was still in our new evangelical days. And that man really, from the way that he believed and some of the material that he gave me to read, he's the one that introduced me to Independent Fundamental Baptist material. That man really should have followed his convictions and he should have left the new evangelical camp and become an Independent Fundamental Baptist. But the problem was with him that he had strong ties to his denomination. He was close to retirement, and his pension was in that denomination. And so he stayed there. Which was sad, because in staying there, he didn't help us to move to where we needed to be either. I can't blame him. I can't point a finger and say, well, God, it's his fault. But you see, we are to be leaders and help others. But one of the things that concerned him in his ministry in the time that we were under his ministry was he was very concerned about the dangers of the charismatic movement. And he was so concerned about the excesses of that movement that when he would hear anyone talk about blessing God, he would get all stirred up and say, "We can't bless God. God blesses us, but we can't bless God." But it says, Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now, there is a difference in us blessing God and him blessing us. We don't have anything that we can pour out upon God that he needs and we can supply him with. But we can bless God in that we can worship him. We can bow before him. And we can honor and exalt his name. And Daniel blessed God. That word blessed there that we have in that verse is only found five times in the Bible. All five times it's found in the book of Daniel. Four times it's translated as blessed, and one time it's translated as kneeling, to kneel. Kneeling in adoration, and that's what the word means. When Daniel blessed God, he knelt in adoration of the God of heaven. And Daniel had every reason to bless God. But you know what? So do you and I. So do you and I. We have every reason to bless God because we could not claim salvation if it wasn't for God's love and mercy toward us. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't be gathered here right now. We'd be elsewhere. We'd be doing whatever, but we wouldn't be here. But because we've been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have gathered together in a place where we can learn of him and exalt his name. And we can be blessed of God, but we can also bless him. We can worship him. We can bow before him in adoration of who he is. And that's important. The world out there, when they look at God, they're not interested in blessing him. They want something from him. Somebody may be dying of cancer, and then they'll call up some religious person, "Pray for me, I'm dying of cancer, pray for me, I want God to heal me." Or they have a financial difficulty, and they'll try to find someone, "Pray for me, I have a financial problem, I need some help," or whatever it is. They're just looking for something from God. But they're not really looking for the blessing of God upon their lives. Because if they were, they'd want his salvation. They'd want his forgiveness. They'd want to become his child and then start to bless him as they needed to do. We've noted already that Daniel and his three friends, the reason that Daniel here could bless the God of heaven is because They had a living relationship with God. They were not fair weather believers. They believed in God regardless of what was going on. And they also understood that their relationship with God was not one where God was a puppet on a string and they were handling the strings and they were going to maneuver God for whatever they wanted from Him. They understood the sovereignty of God. Daniel talks about that in this passage. Now I understand that the Calvinists have taken that word sovereignty and they've blown it out of its place, but that doesn't mean that God isn't sovereign. That's right. He is sovereign. And we just need to understand that properly. And understand that He is in charge. And what a blessing it is when you and I can understand the blessing if we let Him be in charge of our lives. When He takes control, and when we follow Him and honor Him in His life. Daniel says here in this verse 19, he says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision." The secret. Daniel chapter 29, verse 29, some of you know the verse because you've referred to it in discussion with me, but we'll go and look at it anyway. Deuteronomy, Daniel 29. Nobody knows that verse. I don't even know that verse. Let me get my pen out here. I'll write it out for you. Don't be laughing at me. Daniel 29 and verse 29, it says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God." Deuteronomy 29, 29. Sorry, I'll get in the right frame of mind here yet. Deuteronomy 29, 29. "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Nebuchadnezzar's false counselors, they were incapable of knowing the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had had. And because they didn't know the dream, they also could not tell what the dream was about. They also understood from Daniel chapter 2 that their gods would not communicate with them and give them the dream. In fact, the reality is that false gods are just the imagination of lost people. That's all they are. They imagine a certain thing. John Lennon, when he was alive, wrote the song that some of you are familiar with. And he says in that song, "Imagine there is no heaven and no hell." And then a little further on, he says, "and no religion." John Lennon was a very religious man. The sad reality is that he followed the wrong religion. And John Lennon discovered that even though he imagined these things, and even though he imagined there was nothing to kill or to die for, yet he was killed. And he is today not imagining anything. But he is living in torment today, gnashing his teeth in what God calls the lake of fire. We mentioned in the introduction, I mentioned Elijah and the false prophets. These false prophets had imagined that there was a God of fire. There was a God that brought rain. There was a God that brought fertility. And Elijah was able to drive these individuals to do some very foolish things to try to get the attention of their gods. They wanted to prove the validity of their gods. I believe that's why they did that. They didn't want to admit that their gods were false gods. But when Elijah called upon the true God, there came down such a fire that it consumed not just the sacrifice. The Bible says it consumed the stones of that altar. On Thursday, we looked at the promise of God that one day God will send fire and burn up the elements of this earth. And people might say, That can't be true. How can that happen? Well, God has already proved in that account with Elijah that he can make a fire that will consume the very elements. There are many false religions today. Religions that cannot help those who believe these lies. The sad thing is that lost people have tried to make God and His truth less than what He really is. Statistics suggest that there are as many marriage breakups inside the church as there are outside of the church. There are churches today that bless sodomite unions, churches that protect pedophiles, churches that promote drunkenness, pornography, and many other wicked things. And yet they claim that they have the blessing of God upon what they're doing. If you and I today, if we didn't have God's word, we might well be convinced that all of these gods are limited in their powers and in their abilities. In our text, Nebuchadnezzar's dream was forgotten by himself. He couldn't remember it. His unwise men could not deliver up the dream to him. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God. And you'll notice there in Deuteronomy chapter 29 that the word Lord is all capitalized. That's speaking of Jehovah God. That's the true God. Sometime back, I was talking with a man, and he got into the subject of the word Jehovah. And he said to me that we were in error in that we called God, God, and not Jehovah. We should be calling him Jehovah. And I wondered, in our discussion on that subject, I wondered where this man was getting his teaching from. And since then, he has revealed to me that he has other strange ideas that are not biblical. But you see, he has bought into a lie. And he's straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Daniel and his three friends, they went to the God of heaven, the one who can reveal secrets, the one who alone can reveal secrets. And what they were seeking from God was not something that God said was not made for man, because God had already given the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. The trouble is, Nebuchadnezzar forgot it. And so what Daniel and his three friends were asking God to do is to reveal to them this secret that he wanted to be made known to man. And that's important for us to keep in mind as well. There are things in God's word that we don't necessarily understand today that God has given to us. He wants us to understand them. So we need to study the matter out to come to the understanding of what God has given us. In Daniel chapter 12, we're not going to go there, but in Daniel chapter 12, God says to Daniel, he wants him to seal up the matter because it's not the right time to reveal it. The book of Revelation takes some of those same things that Daniel sealed up there in chapter 12 and reveals them to us. But the thing of it is, even in the book of Revelation, there are things in there that we don't fully understand, because God has written them in such a language that they're not clearly understood. But there are details that are given to us there that we can understand. And so what we need to do is spend our time understanding the secret things that God has given to us that He wants us to know, and leave alone the things that He has kept secret for Himself. And not speculate on things and come up with all kinds of theories that really don't benefit anyone. The second thing that we want to know and notice here is the nature of Daniel's blessing to God. The nature of Daniel's blessing to God. Today we are told that to have an effective worship service, we need to have a worship team. You need amplifiers, you need speakers, drums, loud guitars, trumpets, trombones, all the rest of that stuff in order to truly bless God, to worship Him. That's what we're told. And then we're told as well that we need to just add a few words to all this noise that we're creating with all these instruments and just repeat those words over and over again until we get the people in such a frenzy that they don't know where they're coming from or where they're going. But you know, when we look at Daniel chapter 2, where we see that God blessed the God of heaven, we don't see that picture there at all. There's no frenzy going on. There's no hype there whatsoever. It's Daniel here in verse 19, and it's Daniel here praying to the God of heaven by himself. There's a genuineness here in Daniel's blessing God. There's nothing showmanship about it, nothing that is meant to exalt even man. It's not designed to exalt Daniel. It's designed to exalt the God of heaven. And that's what really we need to be doing if we're going to bless God. We want to exalt the God of heaven. We know a pastor, a friend, who in his church, up until a person is 21, he doesn't allow them to take any role of service in the church. His reasoning behind that is because he thinks that under the age of 21, the people aren't really mature enough to really serve God, but they're just looking to, look at me, look at me, look what I can do. And that's a possibility, but it's a possibility even over 21 years of age. But what we do need to understand, what we do need to teach, is that when we're asked to do something in a church, we're doing it for God's glory, not for our own or not for someone else. It's for God's glory. That's why in any church that I've been the pastor of, I've never allowed people to clap even after a special number or something. I don't believe it's right. What are we clapping for? We're supposed to be praising God and serving Him. We don't need to have people clapping for us because we sang so nice or did something so good. We're serving the true God. That's what we need to be doing. Daniel, in this passage here, he took the time to bless God. And he says here in this passage, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." Forever and ever. Psalm 19 and verse 1 tells us, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." So even though a person could not speak, all that man needs to do is look up into the heavens, and the heavens declare the glory of God. So all you have to do is look up into the heavens. Look at the stars. Look at the constellations. Look at the heavens. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us that one day every knee is going to bow before Jesus. And so Samuel here is saying, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." And that name truly is blessed forever and ever. Daniel, what did I say? Boy, I'm really messed up this afternoon. It must be. Can't be me. And so we need to understand that, the importance of blessing the Lord God. You know, we've got that privilege. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Every knee shall bow before Jesus one day. But you and I today, we can choose to bow before Him. Amen. See, we don't have to wait until we're at the great white throne judgment and in trembling fear we bow because we finally understand. Too late, but understand who Jesus really is. We can bow before Him now, knowing the Bible says He is Lord of lords and Amen. King of kings and the Savior of mankind. We can bow before Him. But notice what He says about this God and why. In verse 20, It says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. And then you notice that there's a colon there. And then he says, for wisdom and power are his. And there's a colon there. Now, wisdom. Daniel didn't get out the sweet grass. He didn't let the smoke come into his face. He didn't turn the lights down just right. He didn't have the music playing just right. And all of a sudden, the things started coming to him. Daniel and his three friends, they prayed to the God of heaven, the one who possesses all wisdom and might. The dream that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar is the same dream that God gave to Daniel in chapter 7. A little different picture in chapter 7 than here in chapter 2, but it's the same dream. Same message, interpretation came out of that dream. The dream would lay the foundation, would lay the plan, God's plan for the future of the kingdoms of the earth. Some of that has come to pass. Some of it is still future today. But no one could possibly lay out that plan besides the God who created all things. And so Daniel calls him the God of wisdom. All wisdom, for wisdom and might are his. But not only wisdom is his, but might is his. And that's important. Because you see, if God was to prophesy things that are going to happen in the future, but if he didn't have the power to make sure they come to pass, what good would it do? All wisdom, wisdom and might are his. There are people today who have made predictions. They've made predictions as to when the world was going to come to an end. So people have gone and sold everything that they've had, and they've gone and gathered in certain places. And, oh, the Lord's coming back. You know, we don't need to have this anymore. You better be ready. He's coming back. Well, guess what? Time ticked on by, and the Lord didn't come back. Kenneth Copeland is a man who's revered very highly by some people for his prophetic skills, which he doesn't have. Kenneth Copeland, because I have a brother, you had a brother who was so heavily involved in it, and I've gone and I've checked some of his prophecies. What is so good about this man? His prophecies are so vague that it's the person that reads them that has to put an interpretation to them to make them say something. They don't mean anything. They're empty words. And yet he's praised by people for his prophecies. You know, in Acts chapter 12, there's a man called King Herod who gave an oration, the Bible says. And the people fell down before him and they worshipped him as a god. And the Bible says that God sent worms and ate them up. I think there's a warning there for the false prophets of our day, who like the praise of men and like the adoration of men. They better be careful. They might all of a sudden get eaten up by worms. In fact, they will one day when their bodies go in the ground. But Daniel understood that wisdom and might are God's. And that's why when God gave this dream, which Daniel was going to give to the king, and the interpretation of it, Daniel didn't have to be afraid and say, well, king, here's what God suggests to you, but, you know, it might happen, might not. He could tell the king exactly, here's what God gave you, and here is what it means. Because all might belongs to God. But not only that, it says there, for wisdom and might are his, colon. And then it says, he changeth the times and the seasons. Now God promised Noah back after the flood there, he said to him that seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease while the earth remaineth. That's a promise that God made and that God can keep. However, the timing of the seed time and the timing of summer are in his hands. On our calendar, used to be when I was a child, winter started on December the 21st. Spring came in March the 21st. Summer started June the 21st. And fall was September the 21st. It's no longer that way, but it was then. But even though we have those times that we mark down, we know that even after the spring season comes, we can get snow. Years back, my wife and I lived on a country farm property out in Manitoba, and we put in a garden there, and we had frost every month of the summer. We had to have our blankets ready to cover the crop every night, because we never knew when the frost was going to hit. Every month that summer, we got frost. So you see, God changes the times, and he changes the seasons. He's in charge. And so all the global warming idiots that are out there are wasting their time. They really are. It is idiocy. It's foolishness. It's involved. It comes from a worship of Mother Nature. Again, a false god, rather than a desire to worship the true God. But not only, it says here, does God change the times and the season, it says he removeth kings and setteth up kings. You know, the United States just went through an election session again, and they spent millions of dollars, both sides, millions of dollars. And in the end, the same man that's been ruling for the last 4 years is going to rule for another four, unless something happens. But the Bible says that God removeth kings and he setteth up kings. And so while even in Canada we have the privilege of every so many years we can go out and we can elect our prime minister, we can elect our premier in our province here. But we need to understand that we really have a very small part to play in who's going to govern our country. We really do. And really, we ought to be spending a lot more time on our knees praying about God's direction for our country and the great need of our country, which is spiritual, not economical. It's a spiritual problem we have in Canada, as well as the United States, as well as across the world. But God removeth kings and he sets up kings. He puts the king in place that he wants for his particular purpose. Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan king. Why didn't God give this dream? We go back to chapter 1 there. We see in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Why didn't God give that dream to Jehoiakim? I mean, Jehoiakim was the king of Judah. Why didn't God give it to him? Well, the reason is because Jehoiakim didn't have the right heart to receive that dream. See, Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan king, but Nebuchadnezzar, as we're going to see as we move on in this, Nebuchadnezzar had a different heart than Jehoiakim had. And Nebuchadnezzar learned some things about the true God. And so God sets up kings, and he removes kings. And not only that, but there's still a colon there, and it says he giveth wisdom unto the wise. There are leaders in our world today, they could sure use a dose of wisdom. But you know what God says here, or Daniel says, God says it through Daniel, that he giveth wisdom unto the wise. Not to the foolish, to the wise. The wise person is the one who is a humble follower of God. He's not someone who's puffed up and arrogant and thinks that he's got all the answers. Just give him enough time and he can figure it out. The wise person is someone who looks to God for direction. And God, it says here, gives him wisdom. And that's what Daniel and his three friends were. And then it says further to that, yet we still got we've got a comma there. It says, and knowledge to them that know understanding. Knowledge to them that know understanding. Knowledge means a clear and certain perception of that which exists or of truth and fact. The perception of the connection and agreement or disagreement and repugnancy of our ideas. That's from Webster's 1828 dictionary. Understanding is the faculty of the human mind by which it apprehends the real state of things presented to it, or by which it receives or comprehends the ideas which others express and intend to communicate. The understanding is called also the intellectual faculty. It is the faculty by means of which we obtain a great part of our knowledge. By understanding, I mean that faculty whereby we are enabled to apprehend the objects of knowledge, general or particulars, absent or present, and to judge of their truth or falsehood, good or evil. It says here, God giveth knowledge to them that know understanding. You see, Daniel and his three friends, they didn't have to determine whether what God had given to the king was false or true, whether it was good or evil. They just needed to know what God had given the king. But they were given knowledge to them that have understanding. Knowing how to tell the king, here, king, is what God gave you in the dream. Here's what he gave you, and lay it out before the king. Daniel understood, and Daniel blessed God, because God, wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 13, Matthew chapter 13, 10 through 13, and I got it right this time. It is Matthew we're looking at. Says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before the swine. You see, it would be pointless for God to give wisdom to the foolish, to the ones who say, there's no God. Why should he give them wisdom? But he gives wisdom to the wise. He gives understanding to those who have knowledge. He helps them to be able to put together the things that he has given in his word. Further to that, back in our text again, he says there in verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. There are people who can get very involved in a Bible study, but they come away so very confused and so messed up. You know, the charismatic movement, they say when you talk to them, why don't you read your Bible? And they say, but I do read my Bible. But yet you and I, we can see the folly of what they believe. And there are many other religions out there as well that have so much garbage in them, but claiming to get their direction from the same Bible that you and I read. But God revealeth the deep and the secret things. The deep things. You know, Peter writes about that in 2 Peter chapter 3. Things that are hard to be understood, which they which are ignorant and unlearned rest to their own destruction. Deep things. Things that take some study rather than just running with whatever idea we come up with and having all kinds of twisted thinking about it. And then it says further about this God that Daniel was blessing. It says there, he knoweth what is in the darkness. He knoweth what is in the darkness. Some years ago when my wife was a young girl, she was afraid of the dark. And she told me that this one night she went to bed and she was in her bed already and trying to go to sleep, and there was a noise in her bedroom and she didn't know what it was. Wasn't sure what it was, this noise going on. And she was afraid even to get out of bed and turn the light on to see what's going on. So she called for her dad, and her dad came up into the room and he turned the light on. And she says, there's a noise in my room and I don't know what it is. And so her dad, and he looked around, and in the garbage, my wife had thrown this plastic into the garbage, and she crumpled it up, you know, and you know how plastic is, sometimes it kind of expands a little bit as it's laying there. So this plastic, it was moving, it was opening up again in the garbage can and making a noise that was scaring my wife. And she didn't know what it was, and she was afraid of it. But God knows what's going on in the darkness. There are a lot of people today that think they're doing things that nobody knows they're doing. Secret, you know. Criminals that are out there committing crimes and they think they've committed the perfect crime. Preachers that we hear about that are sitting on the internet looking at pornography. Nobody's looking. I can do this. But God knows what's going on in the darkness. He can see it all. So, you know, even though for the last, what is it now? Today's the 13th. 13 days I've been without my wife at home. God still knows what I'm doing when I'm on that computer.
Amen. Yeah.
My wife's not there to come and look, see, what are you doing, you know? But God's there. He sees what I'm doing. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in the darkness. Don't think you're ever getting away with anything. You're not. None of us are. God knows it all. But then he says also, and the light dwelleth with him. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says there, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He's the light. And you and I, we need that light in our lives. Daniel, this dream was revealed to him because God is the one. The light dwelleth with him. And so Daniel could go to this God, even though the wise men, the foolish wise men that the king had said, oh king, no man has ever asked such a thing of man before. No king has ever asked such a thing. Daniel, he just went to God and said, God, here's the thing, here's the situation. Light dwelleth with him. And so Daniel just took the matter to the God of heaven. Light dwelleth with him. He knows what's going on. And he knows exactly what your need and mine is today. And if we'll ask him, he'll show us. Sometimes more clearly than we want to know. That's our problem, I think, more than not. Sometimes he's more definitive in what we need than what we want to know. We just wanted to have some kind of a vague answer. but he gets it so clear. The third thing that we see in this passage here is that blessing God comes from a thankful heart. In verse 23, it says, I thank thee and praise thee. A thankful heart. You know, Daniel had a rich heritage. Daniel says here in verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. What a rich heritage. Daniel could look back to his fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob, to David and to Solomon. The same God was the God that Daniel could serve. What a privilege. You know, you and I, sometimes we can't look very far back into our heritage and see a godly heritage there. But we still can know the true God. We can know the God of Abraham.
Amen.
We can know the God of Isaac and Jacob. We can know him today. And Daniel says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. Now notice here, who hast given me wisdom and might. Back in verse 20, he says, for wisdom and might are his. And now he says, for thou hast given me, who hast given me wisdom and might. God gave Daniel wisdom. He gave Daniel wisdom so that Daniel could understand the dream and could give the interpretation to the king. And he gives him might. In John chapter 1, a verse that we've looked at many times, you probably figured out it's a favorite verse of mine, but it's an important verse. John chapter 1 and verse 12, you probably know the verse by now. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To them gave he power. As many as received him. You see, that power again, that might that Daniel had here, was not so that Daniel could do some silly thing, but so that Daniel could stand before the king and say to the king, O king, there's a God in heaven that reveals dreams, and here's what this God of heaven says. That gave Daniel and his three friends that might to be able to stand against the tide of the many other Hebrews. Where were all the other Hebrews that were taken captive? How come they weren't with Daniel and his three friends when they requested this special diet? How come? Because they had just assimilated into the pagan culture of their day. They were in Babylon now. They were going to be like Babylonians. But you see, God gave Daniel wisdom and might, so that Daniel could serve the true God faithfully. And you and I today as well, if we're going to serve God faithfully, if we're going to take this morning's message and we're going to live our lives unto holiness, if we're going to be perfecting holiness in our lives, we're not going to do it in the flesh. Hal could get on his elliptical at home there and he could ride that thing from morning till night. And he'd still be a weak noodle when it comes to spiritual things if it wasn't for his faith in the God of the Bible. You see, it's not by might. It's not by man's strength that we're going to get things done. We need to have God's power in us if we're going to be effective in serving him. You see, and what does that do? That takes all the bragging rights away.
Amen.
Takes them all away. Takes them all away. So guess what? We're all on the same plane. You're saved, I'm saved. Who are we supposed to be exalting? God. So let's get our eyes off ourselves and what we can do, and let's talk about God. That's what Daniel's doing. That's what we need to be doing. Let's exalt him. Because he's the one that gives us the power. He gives us the wisdom. Let's exalt him. God gives wisdom and power. And then we see in this passage here, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for that thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Now, right now, God gave him the wisdom. God gave him the direction. And sometimes God does that for us. He gives it to us right now, because we need it now. And he knows that. Sometimes God says, wait. But in this case, there was no time. The king was anxious for an answer. God knew that. And so he gave the answer right now. Bible study is very important. Meditating upon God's word is very important. But you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 7, we read there in verse 1 of the perilous times that shall come. And it says there in verse 7 about these people, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why is that? Why were these people here at 2 Timothy, why were they not able to come to the knowledge of the truth? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The reason is because they weren't getting their wisdom and might from God. It was all secular. It was all materialistic. But Daniel, on the other hand, he's looking to God. And he's getting his wisdom and his might from God. Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37 and verse 4. It says there, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. See, Daniel's desire wasn't a selfish desire. Daniel wasn't asking for a Cadillac. He didn't want to have the fanciest house in Babylon. He wasn't looking to find where's the best resort town that I can go to and God give me the money to get there. You see, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That's the first part. And when we do that, he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Because you see, if we're delighting ourselves in the Lord, we want what he wants, right? We don't want what we want what he wants. And that's what Daniel wanted. Daniel wanted God to be known in Babylon. Because that's what Daniel wanted, God could answer his prayer. And he could use Daniel and his three friends in a mighty way in that pagan country. And God wants to use you and I today. He wants us to be a blessing to our area here in Grand Prairie. He wants us to be able to shine in this dark world in which we are. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is, do we delight ourselves in the Lord? Is that really what we want? Is that really what we're all about? Paul says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Is that really what you're living for? Is that what I'm living for? For me to live is Christ. So I get up in the morning. Do I ask God for direction for the day? And then do I wait on him to direct me in that day? Not waiting in the sense that I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs and, well, God, when are you going to direct me? No, no. I'm following what his word tells me I need to do. I believe that Daniel had the same physical makeup that you and I have. In fact, I believe Daniel had the same spiritual makeup that you and I have today if we're saved. He believed in the same God that you and I need to believe in. Daniel wasn't a superhero. He was someone who believed in the true God. That's what God wants you and I to do. You see, God wants to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is what? What's the next word there? Show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is
your perfect will.
Perfect toward him. There you go. Perfect toward him. Yep. See? That's what God wants. God wants to show himself strong. Because again, Grand Prairie doesn't need to know that Hal Hawkins lived here for X number of years, or that Arlen Hogg lived here X number of years, or that Ron Zilla lived here X number of years, or that anybody else lived here for X number. They need to know that God, the God of heaven, is alive and well and still on the throne.
Amen.
And they need to know that that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. They need to know that God died, Jesus Christ died specifically for their sin. And that they can be born again, they can be saved through the same blood of Jesus Christ that anyone else gets saved through. And if we'll have that heart that Daniel had, then God can give us wisdom and might as well to be able to walk before him in our world today in such a way that we can be a blessing to others as we go along life's road. But we need to be those that want to bless the God of heaven. We want to worship him. We want to bow before him. We want to adore him so that he can pour a blessing upon us. And we need to be thankful to this God who has blessed us with so many things and wants to be glorified in our lives today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank thee again for thy word this afternoon. We thank thee again for Daniel and his three friends and the testimony that they had as we look at this book and we see again these men who from all the human circumstances that they were facing, they had really no reason, if they just looked at things from the human perspective, no reason to praise thee, because they were in a foreign land, taken captive. Their own land was destroyed. Their temple was destroyed. The place where thou had said to Solomon that thou wouldst make thy dwelling place. And yet now it was destroyed. And yet we're thankful that Daniel and his three friends, they didn't look at things just from the physical perspective. They could see thy hand at work. And Father, I pray that we would be able to see thy hand at work today in Canada here, and more specifically here in Grand Prairie, that we'd be able to see thy hand at work. We'd be able to see beyond what's going on in the physical realm and see what it is that thou hast desired to do here in this area. And we'd want to be used of thee. We want to be able to bless thee, bowing and adoring thee, and being a blessing to the world around us here, helping others to come to know thee as their true God as well. We pray again, if there's someone here this afternoon that is unsaved, they might see the importance of repentance and true faith in thee, to know thy forgiveness and blessing in their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 49 in your hymn books. Number 49. Blessed be the name. Number 49. Blessed be the name. Let's stand and sing that together, please.
All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his Son for man to die, that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. God the Father. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, a true and by the fall. Thou hast named my salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace. Of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Father, we thank thee this afternoon that we have the privilege of blessing thy holy name. I pray that as we leave this place today, that we would not just bless thy name here, but we do that as we leave this place and as we go through this week, shouldst thou tarry. That we'd be mindful of the fact that if we're saved here today, we've been redeemed, we've been given life by thee. That we might want to walk with thee in the days to come in such a way that we could be a blessing to others and help some lost soul to find the way to the cross, to thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to salvation. We ask, Father, that we would leave this place with thy blessing upon us and want to be used of thee. For thy glory we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Lord bless.